You're listening to the Cliffy Mac Show on Anchor. This is Cliffy Mac, and I was going through my archives of music in the studio guests. I had a podcast with Jesse Redd, and I believe his podcast name was Jesse Love. And another fellow who I really don't know if I have permission to put his name out there, but if you ever listened to some of my old podcasts, I mean older, you would recognize his voice. Just going to be careful. So here we are. This is like a morning show type sounding live podcast that we used to do on Spreaker. It kind of tickled me a little bit. So I'm going to share it with all of you. All right. So just keep an open mind. It's not like the only ambition I have from posting this out here and publishing it is you'll find... It should put a smile on your face.
Yay! Why the fuck would you fucking wrap it up with a con? I mean, I can understand the STD prevention and everything. Yeah. But 9 times out of 10, if you're fucking 3 sheets in the wind, you don't give a fuck anyways.
Well, but...
So, I mean, I'm 3 sheets in the wind now from Mountain Dew.
But here's the deal. If it's... acid water.
Are we fag chat?
That's my phone.
He's on Matt's on a fag chat channel.
I don't know. It looks like there's some chick show. No, it's a dog. Okay. Oh man. All right. Wrap it up. Tell us the story about your dog. What kind of dog do you have there in that picture?
He's a German Shepherd named Loki. No, we don't want to end on a sad note.
That's true.
We don't want to end on a sad note.
I like German
but
Shepherds.
But I do want to reply to Jesse here. If there's acid in the water coming on, you definitely want your raincoat on to keep it off your skin.
Not if you need to get something off your skin, though.
You remember the acid rain in the 80s?
Yeah.
You can hit me up. You can ring the number to the studio. The number, like Matt would say. You know, oh, I don't know why I'm holding my hand like a megaphone. Like it gets.
We'll save that for a later time. DJ Trix is obviously doing his other job that makes him money. Either that, or he's sitting in his boxers in his living room eating a bowl of ice cream, listening to the show. Which, either way, if you get a chance, listen to the Record Bag Show with DJ Trix. Many links are up on the Cliffy Mac Show fan page on Facebook. The links are up if you're listening live. You know, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
And we're gonna roll on. With more shows, roll on. It's like, you know, antiperspirant.
Right.
You
got to roll it on so the sweat can roll off. You know?
Which makes absolutely no sense at all. But what does make sense is listening to the Cliffy Mac Show.
Yes, it does.
It does, because we're going to bring the knowledge. So, always good fun with Jesse Redd. And by the way, Jesse Redd is a completely different person now. You probably wouldn't hear one foul word come out of his mouth. He's a family man. He's married. He's now a homeowner. He's truly a success story. Shout out to you, Jesse. The next segment is with Keith Swift. He is an incredible rap artist, hip-hop artist, and producer. And he lives in Greenville, South Carolina still. And this next segment's pretty cool because we're just having a little old-school podcast kind of conversation. Check it out. And we are back. 5, 4, 3, aluminum. Shoot. So after further review.
Lithium.
So yeah. after further review of spending the last 20 minutes outside staring at the sky.
Oh my God. I just got like an instant headache.
That was crazy.
That was crazy, man. I mean, you're still a little crazy.
Clouds everywhere.
I'm scared.
But anyway.
It's like God just drove me into a daggum tornado. All right. So anyways, what are we talking about? We're talking about drugs.
Tell me about the progression of drug use.
Drugs, acid, mushrooms.
I went through the acid phase. Yeah, and I eat like Joe Rogan, I had the DMT phase. I did that for like...
I've never done that.
I did it for like a season.
A whole season?
It was pretty good.
Did you see the little elves and shit that they're talking about? Did you meet
the guys?
It was
weird. It was weird. It was definitely strange, man. But I stacked a whole bunch of other things on top of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll disrupt it, from what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
Of course, let's just fast forward to methamphetamine.
Oh, okay. Okay, wait. Okay, so methamphetamine. Methamphetamine 20 years ago was way better than it is now. Because now they got the little shake and bake deal where they can make it in a, you know, and it's not crystal methamphetamine, it's just methamphetamine. Mm. You know what I mean?
I remember because that's how I started.
Yep, that's when it started. That's when it was good. That's when you had a euphoric feeling for it. Till, you know.
I started snorting it.
Yep.
And then a guy from California showed me how to smoke it.
Out of the little glass piece?
Yeah.
Or was it out of a light bulb? Because that's when I started.
A light bulb.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to take out the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And
so, check this out. So, you're from California?
No. Actually, no. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. Nellis Air Force Base. My dad was in the military. He was in the Air Force, and we moved around a lot. So, I was born in Nellis Air Force Base, which is, I think it's 20 miles south of Area 51. So there's quite a possibility I'm an alien. Okay, so I stayed there. I don't remember Las Vegas, but and then we moved to Hampton, Virginia, and then we moved to San Bernardino, California. And in 1994, we moved to Greenville, South Carolina. And in 2001, I moved to Colorado, and that's when 9/11 happened. And I moved back to Greenville because I was new to Colorado. And I said, okay, we're going to go to war. Then I need to be with people that I know. That was my logic behind that. I need to go back to Greenville because... And then I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina. And then I moved back to Greenville. But Greenville is where I lived the most, where most of my life happened.
You know, I can't figure that one out because I've bounced around everywhere, too.
Yeah.
I moved down here in 88 from Massachusetts. I've lived in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, my God.
For about 6 months. That was just an adventure.
Right.
And I lived in Myrtle Beach. I lived in a little hick town called Hepzibah, Georgia. Okay. A nice part of Georgia, which is Augusta part. It was called Martinez.
Okay.
And I lived in Gastonia, North Carolina, but I always end up right back here.
Yep. Greenville. I don't know why either, but it's like the most of my life has happened here, so... The people that I know are from here, and that's, you know, I'm known here, and I know people here. You know, other places that I moved to, like I was in Carolina Beach, North Carolina, which is Port City, Wilmington, which is like 40 miles north of Myrtle Beach, and you know, I had my kid there, but I moved there to get away from this life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I moved away to get from this life.
Geographical change.
Right.
We've all done
it. You know, the lifestyle. You know, I was a drug addict. I was, you know, I was, you know, I went to jail and, you know, all that shit. And then I moved to Port City, North Carolina, started a new life, you know, first job that I ever had, you know, first apartment that I ever had, you know, and then I met my son's mother, and then it was like all downhill from there. You know, she... When I met her, she was getting 150 Perc 10s, you know, and 90 Xanax bars a month from a doctor, you know.
And got caught up in all that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, okay, this is my train of thought on drugs.
The media calls it the opioid crisis.
Right. When it's dope over everything, everything else doesn't apply. Your relationships, your kids, your job. When it's, you have to have the dope before you can have any of that. And when you have the dope, then none of that's gonna stay. That's my philosophy on that. When it's dope over everything, friendship doesn't apply. You know?
It starts out like a little monkey. You feed it peanuts. You feed your addiction. You get high and it's fun. It's like, okay, you got a little monkey. It's like having a little pet.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's my thing. It amuses me. It's fun. But you know that monkey... turns into like a gorilla. And it's kind of like giving you a hard time, but you still play with the gorilla because you're like, oh, but I remember he was just a cute little monkey and he was fun. But that damn monkey turns into a silverback and it grows fangs. And then he develops like an attitude.
And then gorilla glue.
Yeah, and then you're stuck under its control. And when you want to go do something fun or go to work, you have to ask Gorilla.
Oh yeah.
You have to ask the Gorilla for permission. It's like
Gorilla's not around. You know.
Yeah.
You can't find Gorilla anywhere because he's hiding. You know, mm-hmm. It's like fuck.
And then you sit there stuck because you're used to having Gorilla tell you what to do.
Right.
Okay, you can go to work, but you better leave early because it's time to get high again.
Right.
Gorilla's controlling you now.
And you don't want to share Gorilla.
No.
But you have to sometimes.
So metaphorically speaking, that's where monkey on your back came from.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So.
So listen, tell me about your music, man.
Okay. So.
Where did this all come from?
Okay. It's so. Let's say, okay, when I lived in California, this was before 1994, it was Criss Cross, Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer, NWA, you know, it was that, but, you know, I was 9, 10 years old listening to music that, you know, my brother listened to. So, okay, so that was that, and then we moved to South Carolina, and it was like, you know, I became more of a person. You know, I started not liking what my brother liked because, you know, we're siblings. We don't get along. So in middle school, I actually started playing guitar, skateboarding, and listening to punk rock. NoFX, Green Day, Rancid, yeah. You know, Misfits, big Misfits fan. I actually got a Misfits skull tattoo right up here, if you can see it.
Yeah.
Right? So a big Misfits fan. You know, so I just kind of like rebelled from what, you know, my brother wanted me to do, or, you know, whatever. I just wanted to do my own thing. So I started listening to punk rock. Started playing guitar, writing my own songs. You know, they were punk rock songs. They were rock and roll songs. But then high school hits. And when high school hits, it's a big popularity contest. You know, all my friends were stop skating and start wearing Abercrombie and Fitch. But I didn't ever do that. I didn't ever do the Abercrombie and Fitch thing. But I did start listening to hip-hop again. And this was right around the time when Juvenile, Cash Money, Lil Wayne, Eminem, you know, all them were really big. So that's really when I started writing hip-hop songs. So, but, you know, being a drug addict and you know, saying you can rap or saying you can write songs really only goes as far as writing it, you know. You don't ever record it because you spend all your money on dope. Spend all your money on dope, pills, whatever. So really you just have a bunch of talent that you're not using. So the only time that I ever got to record my music is when I stopped doing dope. And that's when I met you. I was right there in the middle of recording songs. Like I would go to a studio every single weekend and drop a new song, new song, new song, new song. And you know, the first year I was recording music, I started to think I'm good at it, yeah, because I've been doing it my whole life and now I'm just putting it into prospect. But a lot of my stuff was sappy and I started to notice that because it was all about recovering from drug addiction, you know, and it's like, you know, yeah, I'm talented, but...
Okay, so right there. Check this out. What hooked me was Lying to Yourself.
Right.
That track called Lying to Yourself. Look, dude, I listened to the lyrics, yeah, man.
Yeah.
And it was like sitting in the bathroom 4 hours gone by, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
You know, needle goes up, yeah. Blood comes in, down with the plunger.
Yeah.
Then you start, ooh, time for your love. Yeah, and I was like, whoa, because I could identify with it. Because at the time I was recovering from the needle,
right.
Okay, and meth, and I was like, I know what that chick's doing, and I know what it's like to raise a child, and I know what it's like to struggle with addiction, and I could identify with that song, and that's what music does. People look for something they can identify with, man.
It has to make you show an emotion to it.
Evokes emotion. That's why it's an art. That's what art does.
Right. So when I wrote that song, actually, you know, when I was writing it, and after I did it, I felt high. I felt high because I was talking about it. You know,
it's called a sympathy high.
It's crazy.
Check this out. Where can people hear that track?
Okay, so
I heard it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. It's on SoundCloud. I'm actually,
I got a lot of songs on Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer, Spotify. I'm on there, but not a lot of my music's on there.
Keys Swift, spell it out.
K-E-E-Z-S-W-I-F-T. No relation to Taylor. All
right.
But, you know, Taylor Swift. So, my thing with that is, we actually used to be married, me and Taylor Swift, right? And she knew I was trouble. Trouble. And, you know, I go back to December all the time. And we are never, ever getting back together.
That was the best thing I ever heard.
How I got my name, though. Okay. So, before I moved to North Carolina, didn't have a name. You know, I had never thought about that because I was never thinking that I was actually going to be doing music. So I moved to Port City, and I make a friend with, his name's Petey. He was called Exclusive. Big shout out to Exclusive up in Port City. Met dude.
Port City, we see you.
Yep, Port City, North Carolina. Met him, immediately clicked, and we started freestyling together. Started freestyling. My first song is actually with him at his buddy's studio, Blunts. Big shout out to Blunts, too. And I met a friend, Anthony, and he said he was going to call me K-Swift. And I held that name for a long time. Where Keys comes in is I went to Recovery House in Charlotte, and I worked at this factory where, you know, you had to wear earplugs, so it was always loud all the time. And I was on an assembly line, and there was this Chinese guy. He didn't speak a lot of, I don't think he spoke a lot of English, but we knew everybody by their name, and I told him my name was Keith. And, you know, he thought I was saying Keys. So every day I would go in there, he'd be like, Keys! So that's where Keys comes in. It's no relations to no kilo, no drugs, no nothing like that. It's just Keys. And then I tacked on Swift. Yep. K-E-E-Z Swift.
So, what's... Okay, your newest thing I've heard. How new is Starting From Scratch?
Okay, so that one was probably about a month ago. I did that one. That actually... that instrumental is from an artist. When I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, his name is The Game, and he came out with an album called The Documentary, and that is actually an instrumental from that album. That's the same song. And I just, you know, took the instrumental and I made my own out of it. That's a good one. That's a good one. It's got a, you know, it's like a storytelling type of song, you know. A lot of rap, though, is like, a lot of it's storytelling, but a lot of it's competitive, who can say the slickest shit, you know, how it rhymes and, you know, all that. Structured bars, 16s, 12s, a lot of people are doing 12-bar verses.
Creativity, power, pitch, pace. Oh, yeah. How fast you can spit it. You get your own flow.
If it's comprehensible.
What kind of accent you have that's different? What sets you apart?
I'm all that rolled into one.
Storytelling.
All that. Yeah.
Like the slickest one. Everybody knows Eminem's slick. But look, dude. Do you remember when Master P came out?
Yes.
No. That was a whole different flavor, man. Yep. I had a wall up against that stuff when it first came out.
Yeah.
And then I started sitting down listening to it. I was like, oh, he's got his own thing.
It's right.
Him, Mr. Cal, C. Murder.
Yep.
Even Ice Cube did some work with him.
Snoop Dogg was on No Limit for a while.
Man, Snoop Dogg. Remember we were talking earlier. Everybody knows the Beastie Boys are the number one selling record for 10 years. But was it 10 years, I think? It was the number one selling album forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Snoop Dogg came out with Doggy Style. And then after that, it was Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, N.W.A.
Everybody from West Coast.
And I don't know why I'm going to say this, but who doesn't like Will Smith? That was the weirdest, like, cleanest...
rapper in the world. Yeah, yeah.
But then, like, he spun it into gold, man.
Sitcom,
movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, you know, sitcom, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, movies, Bad Boys... You know, Will Smith is great, but he was clean. You know, he's got a clean rap reputation. You know what I mean? He didn't. He didn't talk about drugs. He didn't cuss. You know, he was. He was. You know, he was more okay. When you're a rapper, it's either you're like goofy, or you play the wall, or you're serious about your craft. And he was more. He was more the goofy side because he was a comedian. He didn't cuss. He was very positive in his messages. And, you know, then there's somebody that plays the wall between both of them, which do the most success because, you know, a lot of times you don't want to be so serious. You know what I mean? A lot of times you don't want to hear serious shit and have to pay attention to every single lyric in the song. A lot of people just want to go to the club and hear a beat and a catchy hook and dance. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
There's a lot of different lanes people have been in and that are still in. I would say, you know, I'm in my own lane. But, you know, it's okay. To be from Greenville, to represent Greenville, you know how hard it is to get people to work with you from Greenville? I got people that I'm working with from Indiana. Shout out to Yuck Row, Jay Dice, what's up, man? They're shooting a movie, it's called Killian. It's going to be dope. I'm going to be on the soundtrack. And then I met a guy named Easy Beasy just about this time last year. He's from Arizona. We've done a lot of songs together. And then I got another guy, YM3, from Fresno, California. You know, it's like you get more love outside of your own state than you do inside your own state. And this is what I'm thinking. Okay, the reason what separates South Carolina from North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee, is that we all compete to be the number one entertainer from South Carolina. Instead of working with people like in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia is like the mecca for rap music, for music really in general, because they all work with each other and feed off of each other. We're not even, I feel like we don't even have a rapper from South Carolina that's even mainstream, mentioned, whatever. In North Carolina, we got J. Cole, we got DaBaby, you know, these are like big artists that are like really not that many out of there, you know. I think South Carolina needs to all work together and we could be the new Atlanta if we all work together. That's just my take on that. Because look, South Carolina is right in the middle of all of those people, all of those states. But there's nobody out of South Carolina. Nobody wants to represent South Carolina. Nobody wants to be from Greenville or Columbia or Myrtle Beach, you know?
And I hear those things in some of your tracks. Malden,
oh, yeah.
Greenville,
oh,
yeah. Haywood Mall.
I represent Haywood Mall, yeah.
But listen, are you Irish?
I'm not Irish.
Have you ever heard of... All right, I'm going old. I'm going to tell my age, the House of Pain. What about the House of Pain?
Yeah, I know the House of Pain.
Everlast.
Yeah, yep. I know Everlast.
Whitey Ford, yep. Whitey Ford, man. Did you ever listen to that House, any of his albums back in the day? Like the other stuff that wasn't like on the radio?
Probably like the mainstream stuff, yes. But, you know, I never bought an album and sat and listened to it.
Like, how far back have you sat down and just chilled and listened to whole records, albums, or tapes?
Oh, man.
Did I say cassette tapes? Of cassette old tapes. Rap music and stuff.
Okay. I had a Shaquille O'Neal cassette. I had an Onyx cassette. I had.
Yeah, I love Onyx.
I love Onyx. What was, dude. It was when Whitney Houston came out. I was living in California. We all had cassettes. Fuck, what was that?
Can I throw something out here?
Go ahead.
From Greer, South Carolina. DMX.
DMX, yeah, of course, man. Rough Riders, bro. DMX was Damien's, when he does Damien, he does a Damien track on pretty much every album. Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood was a dope album. It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Those are my two main... I use a lot of Earl Simmons references, bro.
Look, man, me and my girl are driving down Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Yep.
And I... Listen, we come up to a red light. We look to the left, and I said, no.
No way.
And there's, like, a Monty sitting up on Dubs, okay? It was brown, right? And guess what's in the back of the window? Pit I knew bulls. Who it was. Pit Rough bulls. Riders.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The Rough Rider emblem in the back, and then there's D.
Uh-huh.
And he's bouncing. I mean, he's just, it's knocking. The car is knocking. And yep. He's just jumping up and down in the cab of his car. And he has this girl with him, man. And guess where he was going? He's going to Appalach neighborhood. I was like, what? And Appalach is like a redneck mill hill.
I heard he lived in Greer for a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, and my girl said, who's that? I said, DMX. Have you ever heard of DMX?
Dark Man X.
Like, no way.
Earl Simmons.
But see, he's that guy, man, where, like, my girl later ran into him at the Waffle House, and, like,
right.
He's like a real down-to-earth cat. Like a really
good bet,
guy.
Man. Yeah. I mean, he steered away from the music industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he spent a lot of time in jail. He did a lot of drugs, you know. I mean, I heard he was at a Phoenix Center. I mean, he's a real dude. You know, I remember when it was Rough Riders, DMX, it was Jay-Z, you know, it was like pretty much people from New York were popping right then. And I remember seeing him talk about, you know, how the music industry is and how it's just not what it's meant out to be. And, you know, he's a real dude, man. And you know, he steered away from it and, you know.
What's your newest track?
What's my newest track?
Yeah.
Or my newest track, let's see, it's called Honest Truth. It's YM3, dude from Fresno, California, and I'm featured on it. And the one before that is also with him, and it's called Poison. And that one is talking a lot about drugs, talking about drugs like referencing them as in women. Roxy, Crystal, Molly, they all have women names. So, to me, to say that, you know, I haven't done drugs in October, it'll be 2 years. 2 years. This is the longest I have ever been sober and the longest that I've ever been clear-minded to be able to write stuff like this. But I can still talk about it, doing drugs, because I've done it my whole life. But it's just a different view of it.
Do you have a question for me?
Okay. What's your favorite drug?
Crystal meth, man.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
But tell me which do you like better, this life or the drug life?
Dude,
stupid question.
It's this life, but my whole drug life molded me into this life. I had to learn everything to get to this point. I had to fall a lot and get so invested in drugs that I didn't want to do them anymore.
Dude, it's not just a meme on Facebook. You have hitting rock bottom and getting everything back teaches me lessons I couldn't learn in any school, university, but the streets that I've walked on and the streets you've walked on.
Paved the way.
The nightclubs, parties, atmosphere, getting to know people, getting street smarts, getting wise, reading people, inked up from head to toe.
Yep.
And then you have a kid, and then things happen, and then you get clean, and it's like, wow.
It's a lot went by, bro.
And people like us become the most amazing, innovative, creative minds, that potential. We thought we were going to be so much better because of the stimulants and all this.
We can help other people change their direction. With our words.
I'll take this life any day, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Look, I have a tattoo on my forearm that says realize.
There's a lot.
Now,
there's a lot of stories about realize.
Now, I got this over this vein, which has a lot of scar tissue. And I got this tattoo to make me realize what I could lose if I fuck up again. That's why I got that.
Can I tell you a story about this one? What does it say?
What does that say?
Elizabeth. Ooh. That's my daughter's name. Elizabeth Rose.
Yep.
And I told myself if I get her name tattooed there, that I wouldn't want to put another needle in my arm there.
Ooh. Did it work?
I stabbed over it a few times. You know?
Yep.
But I mean, I'm clean today. You know?
Yep.
I'm clean today. And that's my biggest fan.
Right.
Yep.
Story to tell, too.
But, man, you know, look, everybody, like,
Everybody's done their fair share. Let's just say everybody's done their fair share.
Well.
Everybody.
Well.
And I used to remember being fascinated. Guess who smokes weed? You know, it's like everybody smokes weed.
Everybody.
My teacher, Bill Cosby used to smoke. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Pills. He used to roofie girls.
Oh my
God. Well, that's just what I've been told.
That's another story.
That's the media for you. You know? But yeah.
So, being clean, what do you binge on, man? Do you like? Are you an ice cream junkie?
No, junk food? Man.
Nothing, right?
You know what I love to do? Okay, this is what I do. This is my daily routine. I wake up probably like 6 o'clock. I'm at work by 6:30. I drink Red Bull all day, probably 4 a day. They got a new flavor called watermelon. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes. They went from peach to watermelon.
Red Bull, if you feel like sponsoring Clivy Max Kick-Ass Clean Podcast. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Will you do a podcast with me?
Hell yeah.
We should do a podcast together, man.
All the time.
We should call it... What should we call it?
Let's call it...
The Ultimate Playhouse.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. I was going to say...
I know, what do you think?
I was going to say the Keezy Max Show.
We'll work on that. We need to work on that.
Right.
Because, look, man... How many recovery podcasts are out there? How many people with this, like Keys is a... Do you ever have people call you a white rapper? You're just a white rapper, man.
I mean, yes, that's the stereotypical, you know, they look at me. I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, you know, I wouldn't trust that guy. I wouldn't trust that guy. But then you get to know me, you listen to my music. I feel like my talent is a lot better than other people, but that's why it's competitive. We're always trying to be competitive with it. Swagger, lyrical wordplay, punchlines, you know, structure bars, all that. It's competitive, and I like to be competitive. Okay.
Forget mainstream. I love your shit.
Right.
I love your music, dude.
I mean, I don't want to be mainstream. I mean, okay.
It's good.
Let me back that up. If I was mainstream, I mean, it would be dope. It would be dope. But, you know, I'm at the age where I'm like, you know, I should have had this when I was 27 if I was going to go mainstream. I'm getting old now. You know, I'll be 37 this, you know, I'm kicking 40's door down. You know, I've already passed that time. But, hey, you know, it could happen. But, you know, from what I'm told in the music industry, you don't want it. You get record deals that are 360 deals and you end up having to owe your whole life to people. And I don't want to do that. I like making music because it keeps me sober. That's what it does.
Dude, you know what you just said? I like making music.
Ooh, I do.
That's what you said.
I like making music.
That says it all.
I like saying things cleverly and nice. And, you know, my when I say words, like I'm not going to slur them. I'm not going to be a mumble rapper or whatever, you know. I like mumble rap. Don't get me wrong, you know.
Dude.
I'm not a mumble rap hater. I'm not a music hater. I like all music. If that's, you know, it's like when a new artist or a new group of artists come into, you know, the mainstream, the rap game. If they're different, that's good. That's good because if you just tail along somebody else's, you know, how they do it, you know, it's just okay. But if somebody's new and has a different way to do it, and it adds to the culture, that's dope.
It is dope.
That's dope.
Look, man, I love you. I do, man. You're an awesome guy. Oh, look, yeah. You're a dad. I look up to you. You know, you don't have an arrogance about you, but you got a swagger. And look, man, tell again, where...
YouTube. My main platform is YouTube. Just go to the search bar and hit KEEZSWIFT. And all my music will come up. Every single one of them is good. Dope.
Dude, it was awesome.
Hell yeah.
You helped me set up the studio today.
Yep.
Humble beginnings.
Hell yeah. There's going to be more episodes. And we're going to get deep into some shit. Yeah, we're going to be talking about some off-the-wall shit.
Social media. What do you got on social media?
Facebook.
Key Swift.
Yep.
Instagram.
I don't even go by my real name, which is Keith Rudy. That's my real name. You know, if you want to Google that. Oh, I have a song called Google Me. So Google me.
Check it out. You listen to Cliffy Mack, Keith Swift. Go to Cliffy Mack on Facebook. Yep. Go to Cliffy Mack on Instagram. Check it out. You'll see. I got Keys posted up there. I put it up a little bit. We're going to put this together tonight and release season one, episode one. That's Cliffy Mack's Clean Podcast. You can listen to me on anchor.fm, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, iTunes, Google Podcasts, any cast that needs some ass. That's us.
Yep.
Anything else? As favorite ice cream?
My favorite ice cream has got to be mint chocolate chip.
By Breyers?
Culver's.
Culver's.
Yep. Okay. Got that Mormon shit. The Mormon burgers.
Check out Cliffy Mack's Clean Podcast. You can find some of my other stuff. If you can listen to my other stuff, you will notice that maybe it wasn't so clean. Join me next week, because I'm going to kidnap Keith Swift and we're going to drop another episode or start a new podcast.
Yep.
We're over.
That's it.
We're out.
Out.
Good night.
Night.
You can listen to Cliffy Mack's Kick-Ass Podcast on Apple iTunes, Breaker. Yes, these platforms, you can hear all of the Cliffy Mack Kick-Ass Podcast on these platforms. There's more. Also on Castaway, Google Podcasts, Overlook.com, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, Podbean. There are more to come.